You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It is in this vital national security interest of the United States to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons.
That was the president last night from Mar-a-Lago announcing the justification in his mind for the attacks against Syria, an airbase there. 59 Tomahawk missiles slammed into that airbase in the period of about 35 minutes, a pretty intense barrage. Joining us on the line right now, James Carafano, vice president of the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, a good friend of the show. Good morning, James.
Hey, good. Hey, can we talk about all the things that people aren't talking about?
Well, no, I think we got to talk about Syria first.
No, but the part of the story that nobody's talking about.
Well, what is nobody talking about?
So the administration actually acted pretty efficiently. I mean, if you think of a crisis action process and getting state and Defense Department on board, working this out in the NSC, briefing a president who's in the biggest meeting of his life with the Chinese president, getting an absolutely brilliant performance from Nikki Haley at the National Security Council. That's the kind of performance in crisis management that you don't normally see in a bunch of guys that have only been on the job for 11 weeks.
Well, that is impressive. And many people have spoken about the fact that this did happen in rather short order from the time the attacks, the chemical weapons attacks against the people of Syria took place until this action last night. Not a lot of turnaround there.
No, and it shows a very decisive president. It shows a very collaborative National Security Council. And if you read kind of H.R. McMaster's kind of brief about the process they went through, and it shows an amazing amount of kind of decentralized but coordinated action. If you look at the way Nikki Haley operated at the U.N., kind of the very strong and tough talk out of Tillerson, and the really efficient way that DOD and the combatant commanders worked. I mean, it's, you know, as somebody that studies this stuff, you know, and I mean, it's not a partisan comment, and I'm not meant to be chill or anything, but for people that have been on the job 11 weeks who have actually very little of their own people in place, it's pretty professional performance.
Now, we know that Putin has come out and said that this is aggression against a sovereign state and it is a significant blow to U.S.-Russia relations. But if President Trump has President Xi on his side, because we can assume that they probably discussed this since this is going on while they're having dinner.
Right.
If he has President Xi on his side, does this force Putin's hand and kind of force him to, side with China and the U.S.?
Well, that's another kind of impressive part of this thing. I mean, not only did we actually talked to the Russians ahead of time. I mean, it wasn't like we surprised them about this. And if you look at the international response, and it's been overwhelmingly positive. And the fact that the United States is essentially able to kind of generate kind of an international consensus literally overnight. I mean, you just got to stand there and kind of just take a deep breath and kind of, you know, suck all that in.
I'm wondering, though, what the Russians will do. I mean, the Vladimir Putin says not happy. There is a report out this morning that the Russians have suspended the memorandum of understanding that we have with regard to how coalition and Russian aircraft operate in that particular area. That's not an insignificant thing because, you know, this was there was some concern that the Russians and the coalition aircraft might get engaged by mistake or in a confusing
right.
situation, and now they have suspended that. What do you read into that?
Well, I think it's largely a face-saving gesture. At the end of the day, Assad is going to keep Putin and Iran are going to keep Assad in power. They're going to continue to use air power. They recognize that we're going to continue our campaign in that region to defeat ISIS and al-Qaeda. We're going to do those in tandem. And I know the administration has come out and said, well, we're Assad has to go. But the reality is our effort to actually get Assad to go is largely probably going to be diplomatic. And the reality is, I actually think that this coalition that they're building to get rid of Assad, that really is they're rebuilding the Sunni coalition in a sense to push back against Iran. We're not going to try to march to Baghdad because that actually does impinge on the Russians' vital interests. But on the other hand, the Russians are going to continue to fight to keep Assad in power because that is important to them. And at the end of the day, we're going to have to learn how to live with each other.
Can you talk about the amazing efficiency of the military? Two destroyers in the Eastern Mediterranean firing off 59 cruise missiles, landing them on target in a 35-minute barrage. 59 missiles fired in 35 minutes.
Yeah, and it's more than just that. I mean, that's actually the easy part. It's the intelligence collection, going through, selecting the targets, figuring out precisely where to do that, figuring out, because you're sending a signal, right? You're not starting World War III, so you're not trying to kill a bunch of people. You're not trying to kill a bunch of Russians. And to pick the right targets, the timing of the strike, and then think about that. And this is what's crazy about this is that's at virtually the other end of the planet. I mean, it's a quarter of the world away, and you're doing all this literally in hours. I mean, it's pretty impressive, and the military can do this stuff. The trick is the layers of stuff on top. It's from the president in the White House to all the things in between to the captain at the ship. And with a brand new team on board to pull that off in 24 hours. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think if it wasn't for the fact that there were people like H.R. McMaster as in the National Security Council and Jim Mattis, sitting in the SecDef chair, guys that are kind of well practiced at this, I'm not sure all that could have happened.
Well, to me, it is just a perfect example of what the military can do when you don't tie one hand behind their back. When you let them do what they do best, they're amazing at it.
Yeah, but the trick is that has to be tied with a political strategy.
Yes.
and your use of all the other instruments of power. And that, to me, here is what's so impressive. It's not the 50-something Tomahawks. It's the fact that Nikki Haley is in the UN doing exactly the right thing, that Tillerson is mobilizing the international community to say exactly the right things. So it's the marrying of kind of diplomacy and statecraft with military force that's really quite impressive. But let's not cheerlead too much. I mean, there is so much to be done in this region.
Right.
This is one day in years of effort, really, to be not a partisan comment, but to undo 8 years of policy that actually served to destabilize the region. And that's not going to get fixed in a day.
Yeah.
It's a nice day, but there's so much more to be done. And we need a policy that's focused on that. We can't just be doing crisis action decisions every day.
Listen, I absolutely, by the way, agree with you about Rex Tillerson. T-Rex over there was pretty strong last night in what he had to say about all this. So he's not said a lot, but when he speaks, I think people are going to start listening, don't you?
Yeah, like I said, I think this is a good day from the administration's perspective in terms of demonstrating that they can exercise crisis leadership and make tough decisions.
All right.
And what we're all looking for now is where's the sustained long-term plan? I'm actually optimistic we're going to get that.
All right. Jim Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much. Great to have you.